Let's turn to Matthew 28:6, and then I'm going to pray because I need God's help because I'm nervous. Amen. Should always be God preaching the message and us just doing it through Him. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for everybody that came out tonight. We just pray that you would give me the words that you would have me to speak tonight. And if there's anybody out there that isn't saved tonight, Lord, that this would just speak to them. And those that are saved, that would just speak to them as well. And we just thank you for all that you do for us. And in your name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's read that verse. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Okay, so this is talking about his resurrection. So he is not here. God's body, Jesus' body, isn't here. It's gone. And that in itself is a miracle. There is no remains of Jesus' body. And that was obviously prophesied, and that was something that he did. And that can, you know, bringing up the resurrection. This is definitely on the fly. Let's see. Let's think about this for a second. Let's quickly go quick to the answers. I'm not really sure what to say, honestly. Obviously, you know, I say it again, Jesus rose from the dead, and that was, the reason that we can have our salvation. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he didn't do that miracle, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't have that relationship with Jesus. And since Jesus rose from the dead, that gave us the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And in order to do things like this, where it's, you know, you're doing this random topic, you need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus inside of you to be able to do that. I can't. I can't do this. That my sinful self, I can't do this. I'm all shaky, nervous, you know, pulling something like that. One verse, I can't do that. That's the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, where's the Holy Spirit? He put that in us so we could have that, the power. It's Jesus, you know, he's inside of us and we do things through him. It's not us. That does it. It's him. And it's just incredible to me that he would do that for us, that he would give us that power, and he lets us use it. And it's a privilege. It's not something that we deserve. It's a privilege. It's something that he gave to us as a gift. And it gets me excited. The past few months, I've been in my Bible a lot more. I've been learning. I did a message last week for my school. I did, you know, Jesus has been working in my heart. The Holy Spirit's been working in my heart. And if he didn't rise from the dead, I wouldn't have any of that. My relationship with God has become better and better and better. And that's because of the Holy Spirit. And if he wasn't there, then I wouldn't be able to do any of that. I wouldn't have the relationship with my family that I do. I wouldn't be able to read my Bible every day with that conviction, this conviction of the Holy Spirit. If I didn't have any of that, this would mean this is just another book. It's just boring Shakespeare. If the Holy Spirit isn't in me, but the Holy Spirit is inside of me and it brings this book alive. And I can tell you today that from my personal experiences, that book is alive. But you have to be saved for that book to become alive. And if that book isn't alive to you, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. But salvation, you have to trust that the Holy Spirit is inside of you. My favorite two verses of the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And that's Jesus, that's God, and that's the Holy Spirit of it. All three of them in one. And God gave us that because he rose from the dead. And that's an amazing gift. And again, it gets me excited. It gets me this excitement that I get coming up, and not just from talking in front of a bunch of people that I know, it's that excitement that the Holy Spirit can give me to get excited about this, and it gives me that energy to want to do it more. And but again, come see, for he is risen. He is not here. He is risen.
Amen.
This is exciting to me. I mean, I've read this verse probably a few times, and this is a verse that people would probably glance over. It's, you know, it's not in bold. It's not something that Jesus said. It's just there. It's just a verse, but it's the little, I guess a good way to spin it off is it's the little things in the Bible sometimes that have to prick us in the heart. And if we can't get excited about the little things, you know, how are we supposed to lead up to the big things to get excited about? We have to, I guess, we see the little things first. This little verse, I've never really thought about it that much. And I guess this verse will stick with me for a while now, but it's the little things. And it's in life, too. The little things, the little gifts from people, the little, you know, it's like, or the Operation Christmas Child thing that's going on, and it's been going on for the past little while. It's the little things in that box that can give hope to those kids around the world. And it's, you know, the toothbrush or the floss or the little pair of gloves or the hat. It's the little things that they get excited about. But then they get that little Bible in there, and they don't even know what to do. They're so excited. They were given it to them, and we take this for granted. We get a Bible. I probably own 5 or 6 Bibles that, you know, I don't even use half of them, 2/3 of them. We take it for granted. If we didn't have the Bible, we can't have the Holy Spirit. It would be a lot harder to have the Holy Spirit in us. And this is our communication with that Holy Spirit inside of us. And it's just the little things that we have to appreciate in our lives. And like again, if we can't appreciate the little things, how is God going to give us the big things? Kind of like it talks about in the Bible, how it talks about newborn babes drinking, you know, the milk. Paul talks about it. If we can't, if all we're doing is drinking milk, how are we supposed to have the meat of the word? How are we supposed to have the bigger, the more nutrients from the Bible? If we can't get past milk, how are we going to get to the meat of the word? That's again, all little things to think about. Let's see. I lost it now. Again, this is, I don't know. I guess it's times like this where I get, another thing is like, if you don't, like blanking on something, or like something like this where you don't really know what to say, that's again where the Holy Spirit comes in. If, you know, our fleshly selves, we can't do it by ourselves, but the Holy Spirit, God, gives us things that just pop into our heads. Some, you know, those ideas aren't from us, that's from the Holy Spirit. And little verses like this that people don't probably even think about most of the time, it's he gives us the things to talk about, stuff like that. And there's just so much you can pull from, because I've heard a few times you should be able to preach a message out of just about every verse of the Bible. It doesn't matter what it is. Even Jesus wept. I'm sure you could preach a message on that. You know, he was a man, and he, you know, had his time of weeping. And that's, you know, that could be a message in itself. Oh, man. Yeah, right? Well, let's go down to verse 8, I guess, of 28. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples' word. Amen. We should, that verse there, that's talking about the excitement that Jesus rose. Now, obviously, they had some fear because they didn't quite know what was going on. But, you know, they're excited about it. And it was, you know, something like that. That never happens, never happened, never will happen again. But it's just, that's exciting that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's, you know, I don't know. I'm just, I don't really know where I'm going with this at this point. But, okay. All right. Well, I think I'll end it there, I guess. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me do this.
Amen. We serve, or we have a living book because the author is alive. That's why we have a living. Here comes number two. Topic or verse? How come nobody's picking topics?
Because if I don't like
some really interesting topics.
If I don't like the verse, I make it my own. I wouldn't do that. I saw Thomas moving around. I poked Troy and I said, "We need multiple lapels." So next thing I know, the lapel's being thrown at me. So I guess I get to wear a lapel. Luke 23, verse 34. And as you're turning, did anybody see the change in Thomas?
Yeah.
When the only thing you can say is the Holy Spirit came upon him. I was back there praying for him because there's nothing worse than just you got your mouth open and nothing comes out. And God took over and away he went. You couldn't shut him up. He was excited. So I pray that I can do the exact same thing. So I'll read it, and just like he did, I'm going to pray because heaven knows I need it. So Luke 23 is not found in Luke 24. Luke 23, verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they departed his raiment and cast lots. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Lord, I pray that you would remove me from this spot. Use me as a speaker. I pray you'd bless the other men that come up and speak, and that you'd help us have a great night of fellowship and learn about you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. And as a quick pitch, if any other men are thinking about doing this and you're afraid to, this takes all the stress out of it. Being able to pick, you should be doing all the preparation ahead of time anyways, just in your Bible reading. And let God speak through you. So, the Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Anybody notice what is going on in this? You know, we can read back if we need to. But this is while Jesus is being crucified on the cross. Do we have to go through the process one more time? So, before he got crucified, he went through the scourging. He got mocked. He got spit on. He got his beard pulled from his face. Any of you little kids, if they pull on your beard, it doesn't feel good. And they were just ripping it out of his face to the point where it was hard to recognize a human. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. Not to be too disgusting, but there's only adults in here. The cat of nine tails would wrap around you. It had bone spurs. It had glass. It had stones. And it would rip chunks of flesh. Parts of metal, yeah. Parts of bone, part of muscle. It's amazing that Jesus could even walk to the cross, let alone carry his cross. It's no wonder that he had to have help as it came time, because none of us would have even survived that. So then they throw him on the cross. Pastor Jenkins had this grand idea at Calvary Bible, and Greg, we'd watch movies on I think it was Friday nights during the winter. And he wanted to watch, I think it was called The Crucifixion. Horrible movie. We tried proofing it at home, turned it off. I couldn't handle it. I don't care to watch my Lord and Savior be ripped apart and hung on a cross. It's bad enough to read about it. But it didn't do it justice. Like, to be nailed. And the fact, you know, they didn't just put him nicely on there. They pulled so that he would reach. It was a one-size-fits-all cross. There was no little man cross, no big man cross, no Jesus cross. They pulled you to fit that part. And then you have to stay up there, lifting yourself up with your legs, lifting yourself up with your arms, just so you can breathe. And Jesus has the nerve to say, "Father, forgive them." We can't handle somebody calling us a bad name. "Doug, I don't like your blue suit. Are you going to forgive me for that?" I don't mean that. I couldn't wear that because I'd be disgusting. I have to wear dark colors. But The fact that Jesus could forgive them. And another, not acronym, but symbolic thing that I've seen with the reason he had to die on the cross is how far did Jesus put our sins from him? As far as the east is from the west. Where does the east and west meet? It never does. You can drive until you spend all the green energy gas you can find around the earth. You will never start going west. If you go north, you'll start going south. If you make it, I'm impressed. It's really cold on both ends. But as far as the east is from the west, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How often do we not know what we're doing? Daily basis. When Pastor, that was tremendous this morning. If y'all weren't here this morning, go on YouTube, go on Facebook, watch the service this morning. It'll knock your socks off. I've never thought about Satan and our sin knocking at the door. As soon as he said that, every time I get that temptation and I open the door, it's like, Pastor, you are 100% right. It didn't let itself in. I didn't forget to shut the window like TJ just did, and sin just came in the window to me. I had to open it and let it in. And unfortunately, the fireman in me says, it doesn't matter how many locks I put on that door, the smoke is going to come through every crack, every crevice, and the curiosity part of me is going to say, what's on the other side of the door? I might pull my glove back and feel, is it hot? And because Satan is so good, it probably won't be. It'll probably have fun music playing on the backside. It'll probably have some candy over there. The verse that talks about the fiery darts of Satan, it always blows my mind. It talks about the full armor of God. And then you have the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts. How many of us are standing so strong with our shield of faith? We can withstand any army that comes with us. Darts, things hitting left and right, and all of a sudden you hear a tink instead of a thud. And you peek over. Now we're stuck. And once again, we're the ones that are part of the we know not what we do. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thomas, thank you for pointing out the little things. Amen. Believe it or not, something that this church has shown me is a respect for other versions of the Bible. Nobody's shocked at that? So when Maddie and I went to Pennsylvania on that trip, because Jim Downauer cursed me, and we were driving back on Sunday, we heard the exact same message that Pastor spoke on the radio. Because why one church service when you can have two? And the pastor spoke the verse, it's supposed to be while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. But his version said, while we are yet enemies, Christ died for us. I don't think I've done much to become an enemy. Other than you're either for us or against us. So I guess I'd be an enemy. But I wasn't born an enemy. I earned that title. I'm owning that one. But I was born a sinner. You don't have to teach any of these kids how to sin. They just come out little sinners. But yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And just, no matter what happens to you, what a verse of forgiveness. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Very good. Brennan Purdy. Topic or verse?
Verse. Nobody's getting topic. You thought hard on it, too. Just one, unless you want to preach them both.
Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things of thy law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to stand behind your desk, Lord. And I pray that you give me the words to speak today. And that it be a blessing to everyone here. We ask your hand upon this word and upon your word, Lord. We just thank you for your word. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Open thine eyes. Let's read verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What does Paul say about the law? The law shows us our sin. And then grace takes it away. We're so thankful for. The more I read this book, the more I'm thankful for it. It's been a great joy to be able to read the Word of God and learn more about it. Look at verse 11. Says, "Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." If you don't hide this Bible in your heart, you're going to sin more and more. I do like the example this morning, Pastor, about the doors. We as humans, we like to blame other people or other things for the sin in our life, but really, you know, these people that go around thinking they don't sin, they don't take a good look at themselves in the mirror. I hate to, I don't know. I think about the people that are in the homosexual lifestyle. They say they're born that way. Well, I'm sorry. Every sin is a choice. Every sin, the Bible tells us, sin is a choice. It's you choose to open that door. Adam and Eve chose to partake and sent us all into this world that we're in. But we have a choice, and it's a struggle, but I want to encourage you. We love prayer around this church. Wednesday nights is a good night, because whether there's 10 or 30, everybody's praying. And I want to encourage you that we have a list of all the names of church members and those that come and everything like that, and some people that aren't members. When you're tempted to sin, think of those people that are praying for you. No matter what they're praying for you, and you should be praying for them.
Amen.
Prayer should keep us. This Bible and prayer should keep us from sin.
Amen.
And it's not on a little something off of this verse, but I don't know, something about my cousin, who was a month younger than I am, passed away many years ago, probably 35 years ago, in a motorcycle accident. Him and his father lived together, and they were having a discussion the night before. It's who was going to live longer? And I think of the rich man and Lazarus when I think about this. You don't know when your last breath is going to be. Wayne got up, my cousin Wayne got up that morning, because he was 45 minutes late for work. Got on his motorcycle, driving to work. And he went to pass a few vehicles, and his pickup pulled out in front of him. He laid the bike down trying to protect himself, but he went right between the tires underneath there, and it killed him. And I'll guarantee you, I don't know what God said to him before that happened. But he said, "I'm in control." God's in control of our lives. No matter where you're at in this life, God's in control. Let him have control. Surrender your life to him. And every day I have to pray that prayer. Lord, take my life, I surrender. My uncle had to go ID him at the morgue. So I'm sure that affected him horribly, but made him think, you know, Wayne was my age. I don't know, I was 20. I think Debbie was only a year old, so that's 34 years ago. You know. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, surrender to his faith.
Amen.
Let him give you the faith to come to know you.
Yeah.
And if you're hearing this online, if you're not saved, get saved.
Amen.
Because we live in an upside-down world, as we all know. And you need to see the wondrous works in God's Word.
Amen.
To bring you to salvation.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Brian.
That was good. Topic or verse?
I'm going to stick with the topic.
Stick with the topic?
I had a topic last time.
Oh, okay. So you're going to do
it. Take a topic this time.
Okay, this could be very interesting.
Oh,
that's one of those things.
No? Tell us what it says.
Can I pick something else?
Calendar. Want me to give you the message?
Calendar.
I used to work at a calendar factory.
But you didn't miss a day.
First thing I have to do, my wife says I talk too long. When it runs out, my 3 minutes is up. One thing about picking scriptures, you know right where you're going. I have a verse that I'm wanting to use, but I don't recall what the scripture, where the verse and chapter is. But the Lord gives us the opportunity sometimes to talk off the cuff. I feel tonight that I'm unworthy to be here because I didn't prepare. I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. But yet I didn't concentrate on a message. So I feel kind of like I'd let the Lord down because I didn't prepare. So I need to ask the Lord to help me tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come to you, and we're so thankful, Lord, that we can come to you at any time. And we know, Lord, that you're alive, that you're well, that you're interested in us, and, Lord, that you do hear us. And we just thank you tonight, Lord, for those for that knowledge that we have. Lord, we know that you've risen from the dead and you are alive and well and hear us. So, Lord, hear our prayers now as we pray that you would open up our mind that we might be able to preach a message that would touch each one of our hearts, that though through that preaching of your word, Lord, we would come closer to you, that we might be made more into your image. Lord, just be with us now. Let the Holy Spirit speak through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to paraphrase a scripture, and if you probably know the scripture, or you can Google it real quick, but the scripture, the Lord does tell us that our life is like a vapor, and it's here one moment, and the next moment it isn't. Now, those of you that are, not many of you all in here are reaching the same age that I am, but if you are that area, you'll stop and blink and say, where did life go? Where did life go? I remember when I was in grade school or high school, I thought I had eternity ahead of me, and I was all excited to be able to do something for the Lord. I love the Lord. I went to church. My father preached, and we went to church, and then we moved to Virginia, and I wanted to do something for the Lord, and I wanted to become a minister, you know? So I went to my school, counselor. And guess what? My school counselor was my pastor. And I told him my plans. He says, Brother Doug, well, he didn't call me brother there. He said, Doug, he says, you'll never go. You will never be a preacher. You'll never be able to go to college. You can't go to seminary. You just don't have enough knowledge and be able to do that. So, you know, I was really down. And at that point in my life, then I was presented with the Mormon into Mormonism. And they told me that I could become a missionary, and then a pastor, and do all these things that I wanted to do for the Lord. Because time is flying by, and next thing I knew, I was graduating, and then next thing I knew, I was in Salt Lake City at the Mission Training Center, learning how to become a Mormon missionary. The next thing I knew, I was out in the mission field, and time flew, and the next thing I knew, 2 years had gone by, and I was out of my mission. I was in college, went back to Utah to college, and then I ended up getting married in California, and time was flying by. Life is a vapor. We have to do, what is that saying? Sin will cost you more than you want to pay, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and I said it backwards, didn't I? But sin is like time, because it goes so fast. We have to, the scriptures tells us to, my mind needs to be open. But we need to be taken careful of every second that the Lord has provided us. And all these years that I was in the youth and led astray, my time was flying by. The enthusiasm and the energy that I had when I was young, I used to promote a fake religion, a fake Jesus. And then the Lord did open up the opportunity for me to hear the truth. And but to do that, he had to pull out the bottom from under me. He had to pull out. I was pulled out the bottom. I went down to the bottom. And I remember one day when I was at home, I was all by myself. And the devil was so real. And he took me and he threw me against the wall. And I realized then I had to do something. So I either had to become totally engrossed in Mormonism or I had to rely on the Lord. And I praise the Lord that he directed me to my wife. She invited me to a Baptist church. And I said, well, if I go to church with her, then she'll feel obligated. She'll come with to me into Mormonism. And if I can marry her into Mormonism, I can get her into a Mormon temple. And we can be married for time and all eternity. And then she wouldn't come. She wouldn't come to a Mormon church with me. She said, you can come visit me. I said, okay, I'll come visit you. I went and visited her. And I was under the preaching of the Word of God. And the Lord spoke to me at that moment. And I never went back to a Mormon church since, praise God. Now, the story doesn't end there. Time is flying by because life is a vapor. And the next thing I knew, I was talking with the pastor. I said, I'm not letting any Baptist pastor tell me about Jesus. I already know about Jesus. I was out of Mormon missionary. I know about Jesus. So anyway, I joined the Baptist church thinking that I was saved. And it took me 6 years to be able to the Lord finally pricked my heart, saying, you don't know me. You don't have a relationship with me. And I'm just think, folks, time is flying by. Life is a vapor. The Lord, I could have gotten killed. I could have died. But no, the Lord provided his grace that I was able to get my heart pricked during a revival. And I was able to ask the Lord to be my Savior. And I was, like I said, I was a member in the Baptist church for some 6 years. I preached. I taught Sunday school. We worked, did the youth. We did puppet ministry. And then I was still lost. Now, if you're sitting here today thinking that you're a good member of the church, you know in your heart if you've accepted Christ or not. But you have to recall and remember to yourself that life is a vapor. There's no promise of tomorrow. We have to know today. Today is the day of salvation. So I just want to plead with you tonight. If you've been here, if you've been in the church all your life, you know if you're saved or not. Amen. You know, when I did get saved, it was during a revival. And I came home from work. Well, Let me go back a little bit. When I knew I was lost, and I had to get saved. So right after I got off of work, I went flying to the pastor's house. He opened the door, and he says, "What do you need, Brother Doug?" And I can just remember that. I just fell right inside. I said, "I need to get saved." He says, "Come back in my office." We went back in there, and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I can remember when I left his house, I don't even think I touched the floor. I was just floating. I was floating through there. And then I was so excited because Donna thought I was saved, and all the kids thought I was saved. So we got at home, and we were sitting around a dinner table. Hey, I'm already 3 minutes over. When we were sitting around the dinner table, I said, "Hey, let's go around and tell each other what we've done today." So everybody went around, and they got back to me, and they said, "What did you do today, Dad?" I said, "I got saved." Amen. Amen. I got saved, and my life now has been wonderful. And the Lord has directed us. He brought us up here to this beautiful church and wonderful you. We just love you. And I just praise and thank the Lord for saving me, because life is short. I had no guarantee that I would live this long. And he brought me through COVID. He brought me up here to New York. And we just thank the Lord for the way he's directing us and helping us. We love working with the church, and we're excited with the senior ministry. And we've had a good time preparing for that. So hopefully we'll see you all there, because we don't know if we'll be here next week or not. We might be home. Amen. So just, I rattled on. Life is short, brothers and sisters, and life is a vapor. So let's take advantage every moment of our lives to glorify Jesus Christ in the things we say and the things we do. Amen.
I don't know. Several. He's a typical preacher. Clocks don't matter. Watches don't matter. And the little minute glass. I know. It doesn't matter. I see some preachers, they take the watch off and they set it down there. It doesn't matter. Nothing. It doesn't matter anything at all. All right, Judd, you ready? Topic or verse? Good. Good. All right. Whatever you get, you got to preach on.
I know.
You got to preach on. Take anyone there you want.
I got. Oh, it's here.
It's a Chinese one.
Oh my gosh.
Read it out. Read it. Which one did you get? No, that's the how to speak Chinese. Turn it over.
We're gonna learn how
that's
to speak
lucky,
Chinese.
That's the lucky numbers. You don't care about that. Read that.
Your lucky numbers are. Of all the things you wear.
Your expression is the most important. I like that.
Go ahead. Give us a sermon on that.
Okay. Dear Lord, I do pray that you be with me. Give me what to say. Be in my heart. And I will preach what you want me to. I pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Okay. Where? That's true. The things you wear. Well, the things we wear to church, we need to wear. You know, you don't have to wear a suit. You just need to wear your best clothes to church. And your expressions, we need to have a good expression. Happy and smile on your face. A lot of smile, you know. We're all friendly here, you know. And to come in here with a grumpy face, there's no reason to have a grumpy face. Some people do come in here with a grumpy face. And pastor has to look at all that. You know? He likes to see smiles. And we need to have smiles on all our faces. And I don't know, this is a tough one for me. Well, anyway, we need to, even when we're out in the public, you know, when we go do things, we need to go places. You know, we do have our work clothes, but we should try to just have a good outfit on. So we do talk to people about the word, you know, and you need to have a smile on your face when you talk to these people. because they're looking forward to hearing what you got to say, most people. I've passed a lot of tracks, and I have some come this week to where I work, and it was a guy from Gould's, and he was Italian, and we never talked about religion, but that day I took him around the yard, tried to find out what he needed, and then when he went to leave, I says, I want to give you something because we're friends. I pulled out a tract, gave it to him. I says, this is about the Lord. And he said, I will read it. So that's a blessing and a loan. So, and I know he'll be back, and I know he will give me his opinion about it, and that's what I'm hoping for. And I'm running into a lot of people like that, and I give out things, and I try to be friendly. Just like at, when we do our laundry during the laundromat, when we do our well, I do the laundry now. And when I go to the laundromat, I give out tracts, and I help a lot of people there. Some people come there for the first time, don't know how to operate the machines and stuff, so I'll show them how to do all that. And they don't know how to do certain things, and I'll tell them how to do that. And then I have my tracts, and I ask them, I says, this is for you and stuff. And I says, I hope you read it. And there's a few people, we will get in discussion about it, and there's some people who will just accept it and say thank you, and they say they will read it, so I hope that they do read it. And there's times when some people have been there, I also invite them to church. You know, if we get into a good talk to where I feel comfortable, I will invite them to church. I haven't seen anybody yet, but I'm still hoping someday one of them will come. And but still, you know, you got to do this with, like I say, with a smile on your face. We have to be happy about it. To me, that's a privilege and an honor to be able to do something like that. And just like when I got hurt, But I didn't cry. I didn't holler. I didn't scream. I said, you know what? Now I know what Job went through, because we're reading in Job. And I says, he went through a lot worse, and I just soaked it up and kept on working. Amen. And that's what we should do. Keep a smile on our face and just keep on working. And we just all need to do that. We need to also be cheerful when we're talking to strangers and other people, whether it's in laundromats, stores, wherever you go, you know, and you show you're cheerful and you're happy, they're going to become cheerful and happy. They're going to wonder why you have a good smile. Well, you'll have a good smile if you have cheer. You know, that's something we should do. And I thank you for this time, and this was a blessing, and God gave me what to say. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How often do we really show that kind of expression on our faces when we talk to people? We were at the Chinese restaurant today. David gave out this nice little Chinese lady that was waiting on us and taking care of us a tract. And she actually stood there off to the side. I think she read the whole thing. Sitting there reading the whole thing, and that was a blessing.
It was because I was friendly there.
Yes.
And I was personable, and I was like kind of chit-chatting in Mandarin. And
yes.
And then I made it personable. That's what you got to do.
Right.
It's like, you got to make it, you know, something like they're getting something from a friend.
Right. David was talking Chinese talk today, and she actually understood him. He's studying, I don't know, he's getting into that. He wants to be a Chinese person, I guess, or something. I don't know.
We're all going to speak in Mandarin pretty soon. That's right.
That's true. Either that or Russian, one or the other. Let's not go there. Guys, thank you. I appreciate that. That was good tonight. We enjoyed it. And thank you, the men that signed up for that. We'll do that again the next time, and maybe we'll get some different guys to sign up. Once you come to the piano, we'll have an invitation, Rich. We'll close out our service. We'll go downstairs. We'll have some goodies. Let's all stand.